In a news conference yesterday afternoon, Governor David Ige announced a supplemental emergency proclamation, which includes a plan to quickly address the expected unemployment claims as companies begin shutting down and reducing hours during this COVID-19 crisis. The Labor Department will try and expedite checks to those who apply for help. Director Scott Murakami laid out the strategy.
Starting from March 1st of this year, we saw a consistent increase in unemployment claims in our offices and online. So we're looking at March 1st as the inflection point of the change in the trend of unemployment claims.
And how much has it gone up?
Between February 23rd and the week that started on March 1st, those 2 weeks, there was a 19.92% increase week over week.
That's a pretty huge jump.
It's a pretty significant jump. Another statistic that people may be interested in is that when we look at the day-to-day comparisons, on the average daily, the average increase in daily claims went up by 26.8%. But I have to be sure that, just to be clear on, these are just the new claims, so they're new filings. And we cannot at this point distinguish whether or not they're part-time or full-time claims. So it could be a reduction in hours that's leading to a part-time claim. They could be full-time claims. At this point, we don't know.
So you'll have to dig down deeper to understand what are we seeing.
Precisely. And that's why even on our website, we've got some different numbers to this, but this is just specifically the new claims that we're looking at, because that's what we're looking more for, the economic impact and when we're seeing a shift in what's happening with unemployment market. So we were using just the new claims at this point.
So our unemployment has been historically low.
I think we were the third lowest at this point. I think it was the third lowest, yes.
What does this mean going forward?
We do know that given the macro factors that we're looking at, and of course, you know, given the situation with COVID-19, that we are anticipating further claims to increase. So what we were doing was we put together probably about, I want to say, a couple weeks ago now, we started doing some very close monitoring on what's going on with the economy. And so we put together some projections on whether or not we had the right manpower to administer our funds, as well as the right amount of funds available to pay out to claimants. And that way we could be sure that, you know, as Hawaii's first line of defense, we had the capability of administering benefits to our claimants as quickly as possible.
So walk us back a bit, because when was the last time we had a situation like this?
So the last one was, I believe, the Great Recession. That's the last real economic downturn that we had to address. I will tell you that in our projections, what we did was we based our projections off of what happened following September 11th of 2001. And the reason we picked that over the more current events or other events that were associated with actual any type of pandemic type of situation, such as SARS or avian flu, the reason we picked 9/11 was that the business trigger was the same, right? It was the more immediate impact of the reduction in flight. So that seemed to be the best proxy for us. So we used that as our basis for doing projections on whether or not we had the adequate funds for it. But the last time we actually went through it was the Great Recession.
Did we have to extend the benefits?
We did. During 2008 and 9, I believe, during the Great Recession, we did do an extension of benefit.
What's the period that we cover right now?
Right now, it's a 26-week period. The feds are looking at how they would extend the program, and certainly we would follow that.
Unemployment has been low, and it has been difficult, I think, for so many government agencies to recruit staff. So if you need more people, you need to ramp up in order to have enough, you know, clerks to process these claims. I mean, that's going to be challenging, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, part of it is that unemployment, the trick with unemployment, it's counter-cyclical, right? So when the economy is doing well, typically our unemployment rate is low, so our administrative fund goes down. And certainly with a 2.6, 2.7% unemployment rate, everybody who wants a job has a job. So what we're looking at, though, is not just for ourselves, but, you know, Hawaii's economy has some recession-proof types of economies. So when we did our analysis of 2001, we did notice industries like healthcare didn't experience a loss of jobs. They actually saw an increase of jobs. So, and given the nature of COVID-19, it's pretty, you know, evident that healthcare is going to be an area that we need more help in. So the trick for us as a state is if we can efficiently transfer those workers over, right? If we can create an efficient way of exchanging labor, and that same model would apply for us. If we can efficiently transfer people over from jobs where we're anticipating loss in, that would be the best line of defense for us to stabilize the economy. So for us, yes, it would be challenging to recruit people, but certainly in a market where we're starting to see downtrends and, you know, any type of way in which we could offer employment to people is certainly what we would like to be able to do.
Your department has been regarded because you have that special rapid response team that goes out whenever there's a mass shutdown, you know, whether it's an Aloha Airlines or, you know, some large company like that. You can move quickly. So this, though, this might be a prolonged thing.
Yeah, you know, every program has its limitations. So what we're looking at is our way of addressing that has been to look at all of our programs that we have, not just the rapid response program, because the rapid response program that you're speaking of is funded through the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act. But we also have other tools in our toolkit. Our employment training fund is an example of that. Our apprenticeship programs are things that ensure people have employment while they get their training, right? So the trick for us is, could we creatively and efficiently create a labor exchange that can move people from one industry to the next? And that's really what we think is going to be some of the ways in which we could damper any kind of economic slide. I do want to let you know that, you know, we're all in it together, and our department has been in very close contact with Senator Schatz's office, as well as contact with Senator Hirono's office and our congressional members. I will tell you that inquiry from Senator Schatz's office about what are the implications of COVID-19. So we did give them some guidance about the impact that we would have and the need for the disaster unemployment assistance. So, you know, we are in regular contact with them. One of our staff and myself started doing regular visits to Washington, D.C. starting last year. And the whole idea behind that was that, you know, 60% of our funding for over the entire department comes from the federal government in a variety of sources. So we wanted to make sure they knew that their investments were being taken care of. We wanted to make sure they were very clear on any concerns we had within the state regarding federal funding. So we have a good relationship with them. And in this case, it helped us out quite a bit because we were able to communicate very quickly with them when they inquired as to what our needs are, so that they could take the appropriate actions to help us out. And not just us, but all of the state.
So is there anything that we need to look at island by island, you know, because each county might see different hiccups?
Yeah, you're right. More so, each county is going to react differently for a number of reasons. They're all different economic systems, right? They have nuances to themselves that we've always been cognizant of. That's why, you know, I would fly out once a month to every one of our branch offices, because the economics that drive that county are different. We are watching arrivals from domestic carriers into the state as our leading indicator, and we do watch it county by county. And we have gotten some inquiries from other counties regarding our programs there and how we can help them. The nice thing about our department moving into this period is that we've made some solid investments into technology and infrastructure that would help our claimants out. So we have the ability for people to do online filing of claims. They don't have to come into our office, or they don't have to visit their local county unemployment insurance office, which is very good for them, right? Because, you know, given the nature of COVID-19, if you need to file, you can file from the comfort of your home or anywhere you have an internet connection. You know, so we fortunately have those tools at our disposal, and it'll help to, you know, more timely process the claims for claimants.
Is there any advice you can give folks who are applying? Are there busier times or slower times? You know, like, don't do it like Monday morning. You might crash the system.
You know, typically when the economy was, it's really changing every day. But prior to March 1st, Mondays were always busy days for us. That was the typical day that we saw an influx of people coming in online. I would imagine that it's going to change very quickly and that we'll see a steady stream of people coming in. What I would like to share with people is that, you know, we've got some wonderful people who work in our department. They're very committed to helping the community out. They're very committed to making sure that every member, every claimant who comes in and a member of our community gets the maximum benefit that they're entitled to. But it's an individual process, and it's an individual, you know, financial evaluation. So the claims at times do take time, and I will tell you that what we learned from last time was, it's a tough situation for somebody who's unemployed. It's hard on themselves and their families, and we understand that. They certainly have our compassion and our understanding. But I just ask that they be patient with our employees because they are doing their best. Again, because the economy is so good and COVID-19 hit us kind of out of the blue as a global economy, certainly we're going to have to ramp up employment, people and whatnot, and we're addressing that. We started addressing that, I should say, about, like I said, 3 weeks ago. So we are trying to maintain our lead in addressing the economic slide. But I just ask that people be patient and understand that we're trying to get every claimant that comes into our doors the maximum benefit that they deserve, and to just keep that in their minds and in their hearts when they're interacting with our staff.
Right. We're all in it together.
We are all in it together, and we are doing our very best to implement things that, help to stabilize the economy and keep everyone safe and get them the full benefit that they're entitled to. I can tell you that we are setting up our facilities to deal with a pandemic situation in our office now so that we have the necessary resources online, to deal with things like hearings that we have to do, where those hearings can be now done. They can be done remotely if that's what they choose, and a lot of people have been opting for that. And so we're fortunate because we have the technology capabilities, at least in most of our locations, to do that.
When will you have a breakdown, if you know what industry?
I would have to check.
Okay.
Because right now we've just been checking the aggregate numbers.
Right.
I would imagine that in about a week we probably start looking into the nuances of all of the individual economies and trying to find ways in which we can infuse or stabilize employment as much as possible.
That was Scott Murakami, the director of the State Labor Department, talking about dealing with the expected onslaught of jobless claims in the weeks to come.